And greetings, friends around the world. Once again, this is Roderick C. Meredith bringing you this commentary on the book of Matthew. We've been trying to open up to your understanding the book of Matthew and help it be plain and clear where you can really understand it. And I've had the experience of teaching the Gospels for many years, so I hope you can understand and grasp the real meaning and details of this book much better after this series. You can download the previous programs in this series if you want, but we've come up here near the end of chapter 19 of the book of Matthew. We finished up in the last program, those of you watching will remember, with a statement about how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Through God's Spirit, everyone can overcome, no matter what becomes a God in place of the true God. They can humble themselves. They can have the strength to overcome through the Spirit of God. Now let's turn to verse 27. Then Peter answered and said, see, we, the disciples, were not rich, but we have left all and followed you, Peter said. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, the rebirth, you know, the generation means to create or bring into something into being, the genesis, the beginning, the creation, you generate, you procreate. And, of course, he's talking about the new age when we're born of God. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory in the coming tomorrow's world, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And many of the commentaries and scholars acknowledge this word judging can mean directing or managing or ruling, as it often used. So they're going to be managing the affairs, deciding between people's problems and situations, ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. We find in several places in the Old Testament, back in Ezekiel chapter 37, for instance, that King David is going to be given his old job back in the resurrection, and he will be king over all 12 tribes of Israel, regathered again, the Jews and the 10 lost tribes, made one again, one nation under King David and King David under Christ. But under King David will be the 12 apostles, each one ruling one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we have an organized government pictured in the kingdom of God, a literal government that is going to be set up on this earth under Jesus Christ as King of Kings. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life. They're going to be blessed beyond description. They'll receive 100-fold and inherit, of course, in God's kingdom, everlasting life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Some who were called back at that time and rejected Jesus are not going to be called in the first resurrection. They will come up and have an opportunity to really understand later on if they were blinded. And that's another story. I'd like to offer you, however, at this point, a very wonderful book that is called Your Ultimate Destiny. It shows what kind of reward you can have in the coming kingdom of God, not just on this earth, but right on into eternity. And it spells things out and gives you an understanding way beyond what churches and religious groups generally even begin to understand. It really does. I'm not exaggerating. You call or write for this booklet, contact the number you see there on your screen, and let us know you'd like this booklet. We'll send it to you with our compliments, absolutely free. It's a wonderful, it's an inspiring booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny. So let's go on now and see what Jesus said. For the kingdom of heaven, not in heaven, but the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, he continues here in Matthew 20, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers. And you know the story, he had agreed to give each one a denarius, a certain amount of money. They all were going to get a denarius. And then he went out about 9 o'clock because at this time they called, you know, the beginning of the day was 6 a.m. for these farm laborers. He went out at 9 o'clock. And of course, there were still some there. He hired them for the same amount of money. He went out at 12. He hired some more. He went out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and hired some more. And finally at 5 o'clock in the late afternoon, he went out at the 11th hour, as it points out here, and he came and hired some more. And so when those who were hired about the 11th hour, it says in verse 9, came to receive their wages, they each received a denarius. They received a denarius. But when the first came, maybe they thought God had changed his standard here, and they had been working longer, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received the denarius. You see, eternal life is the basic reward of all Christians. Everlasting life forever and ever and ever, being a glorified spirit being, a full son of God, in the very family of God, the kingdom of God. It's an awesome opportunity. This book will point out to you. Absolutely awesome. Your ultimate destiny. There's nothing that can compare with that when you really understand it. But it's not going to heaven, and it's not floating around heaven all day with nothing to do. So you contact us and get this booklet. It will make this whole subject plain, as I said a few moments ago. But they supposed they'd receive more, and so when they received the same amount, they murmured against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only an hour, but we bore the heat of the day, and why don't we get more? But this man answered, who's of course a type of God the Father here, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for denarius, the basic wage, eternal life in the kingdom of God? Now, frankly, my friends, other scriptures indicate that's the basic thing we'll all get, eternal life. But if you work hard, if you do your part of the very work of God, if you go above and beyond, you can have a higher degree of responsibility in the kingdom of God. That part is true. You'll have more work to do, probably, but you'll have a perfect body that never gets sick, never gets tired, glorious enthusiasm every day, and you'll be able to be over 5 cities or 10 cities or maybe a whole nation or maybe something even beyond that, which I won't try to explain now, but this booklet does explain if you give your life to God actively and serve him zealously, and you're rewarded according to your fruits, you're rewarded according to your works. You're not saved by that. You're saved by the blood of Christ. And your basic reward is eternal life. But the degree of opportunity to serve, the degree of authority in the government of God can be increased. But Jesus doesn't cover that here. He just shows the basic reward is eternal life. He said, I do you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as you. And so they began to be a little bit upset, no doubt, some of them. So the last will be first and the first last. As I said, some people way back in ancient Israel never obeyed God. They cursed God. They fought God. They rejected God's servant Moses. They heard the truth first, but they didn't obey it. They're not going to be in the first resurrection. And even the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, when Jesus was alive, they're not going to be in the first resurrection unless they individually repented, which some of them did. They'll come up later. They'll have an opportunity later to face the issues and to really understand. So the last will be first, some people who are converted later, but the first will be last. For many are called. God invites a lot of people to his kingdom. He gets the message out to many, and many understand, but few, very few, frankly, in this age, are chosen. Those who overcome. God said through Jesus Christ back in Revelation 2:26, he who overcomes and keeps my works to the end shall rule over the nations. Yes, you're going to have that opportunity if you really overcome. Only the overcomers will be in God's kingdom. And very few today really understand and really give their lives to God with faith to step out alone, to go contrary to the mainstream, and to be an overcomer with Jesus Christ. Then Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests. You see, the religious leaders are the ones who usually end up attacking God's servants. Always been that way, will be today. So the chief priests and the scribes, he would be delivered up, and they will condemn him to death. They hated him. Men don't love the light. They love the darkness because their deeds are evil. They don't like to be corrected. They don't like to admit they're wrong. It really bugs them to admit they're wrong, even religious leaders. And so they delivered him to Gentiles, these religious leaders, would deliver up the Christ to mock and to scourge and to crucify. He knew his form of death ahead of time. Jesus knew that. And the third day he will rise again. And as many other scriptures tell us, well, he was to be resurrected not just the third day, but at exactly the end of the third day, after 3 days and three nights, as it says in Matthew 12 and verse 40. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said, what do you wish? And she said, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Of course, this dear woman didn't have a clue. She couldn't have imagined the glory and the power and the majesty she was asking for her two sons that would last for 1,000, in fact, 1,100 years probably, and maybe even on to eternity, just because she came and asked this. And Jesus said, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said, we're able. And so he showed them, well, you will go through suffering. And they were martyred, many of Jesus' disciples. In fact, all except John apparently were martyred. But he says, it's not mine to give this kind of glory. Only from God the Father can we receive that. And so when the ten heard it, they heard about this separate attempt here to get favor. They were moved with indignation against the two brothers, James and John. This is verse 24. But verse 25 says, but Jesus called them. You see, if they had really been deeply converted, they would have known Jesus was going to work it out and don't get upset, everybody human. But they were bugged because in their hearts, they too wanted power. So this really upset them, thinking that these two brothers are trying to get ahead of them. So Jesus called them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And that's the normal way. Remember Benito Mussolini and Hitler back in the Second World War? You know, going, blah, 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 and just crushing those under them. Often Stalin did that in the Soviet Union and Mao Zedong in China. Many dictatorial leaders have done that down through time. That's the way they do. They lord it over them. And those who are great exercise authority. Do you know who's in charge here? They're always saying. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, Jesus said, let him be your servant. Let that person try to help and give and serve and build the others. That is the mark of a true leader. Someone who's not always concerned about how great he is, but trying honestly to do his best to build and teach the others so they can reach their human potential and be in the kingdom of God. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Let him be the one that works the hardest and serves the most. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ helped and served constantly. He sometimes corrected his disciples and others. Of course he did. He sometimes acted important as they could look at it by sitting at the head or teaching. But on the other hand, his whole motive in all of this, which he showed and which they knew if they were honest, was to help them, to teach them, to serve them, to build them. As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed, and two blind men sitting by the road when they heard Jesus was passing by cried out. These blind men heard this great prophet is coming. And they said, have mercy on us, Lord, son of David. You see, the prophesied son, not of someone else, but of David. David was a type of Christ in a very special way. The Messiah was to be a direct descendant of David. Have mercy on us, son of David. So they must have gotten the word of his miracles and realized that he was, in fact, the Messiah. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. They said, shut up, don't bother the master. But they cried out all the more. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And then they said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And you can picture these two men coming up, perhaps trembling, blind, you know, but Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And he could sense in their voices, their attitude, the attitude of deep humility, and perhaps a fair amount of faith as well. And so Jesus had compassion. He had outflowing concern, and brethren, he had that in a remarkable way, where he would just ooze love and compassion in a way that most of us don't do today. Our hearts have been hardened, we've been fooled, we've been hurt, we've been taken advantage of. And human beings today don't normally have that kind of compassion. But Jesus did, and through his Spirit, all of us can learn to have more compassion, deep outflowing concern, love and mercy for others. He had compassion and touched their eyes. Again, the working God's working through the hands of men, the laying on of hands. He touched their eyes, perhaps put his hand on their heads, touched their eyes, said a prayer, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. They were healed by the Messiah. Son of David, have mercy on us. And he healed them. And we know the scripture in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the healer. He is still alive. If we can learn to have faith and trust in him and in the God of heaven. That's it for today, and we'll see you right here next time. This is Roderick C. Meredith speaking for the Living Church of God.